Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. The future is dead. Or is future still alive? Just a joke. Future, of course, is alive. Future is there, and I believe that we can create it, that we have all the tools in our hands to create a future. Fact is that trends are changing. Future is new. Future renews itself, and so trends, focus points are changing. And in the past 10 years, we had the CASE mantra in the automotive industry describing all the relevant trends. CASE stands for connected, automated, shared, and electric. And you need these acronyms, these easy to remember words to be able to communicate, to name trends, to discuss them, and to exchange on them. So it is important that you have these cool acronyms. And CASE was invented by Mercedes. At BMW, it was called ACES, the same letters in a different order. But CASE is more or less accepted now in the entire automotive industry. Stands for connected, meaning car is part of the Internet of Things. Automated, as automation of driving on different levels. Shared, as in shared vehicles. And E for electric drivetrains, electric mobility. What's behind it? Connected is, for me, not a future trend anymore. It is reality. It is there. So every new car that you have is part of the Internet of Things. It is connected. Cars are consuming data. They are processing data. They are distributing data. They work with data. They work on data. So for me, the connected part from a technical point is solved. We already see many different use cases. You may have experienced that you drive around with your car and suddenly your dealership, your workshop calls you and says, yeah, we have seen you have been driven another 50,000 kilometers. There is a maintenance that needs to be done. Shall we arrange a date when you bring the car? So these are the things when data out of the car is used by the car makers, by the dealerships to give you a certain service. And we're at the very beginning of this. There will be future services beyond what we see today. Today we see a lot of traffic data, a lot of technical data exchange. But once cars will talk to each other and talk to the infrastructure, you will get optimized routes, you will avoid traffic jams. You will drive on a route with not too many red traffic lights. And yeah, those are services that are coming and that require a connected car. But for me, this is not a future trend anymore. This is reality, and we have to work on this just like we have to work on engines, tires, or brakes to improve that and move on. The A for automated, that is one that is a trend, still a trend, where we work on the trend where we say, okay, there's a lot of focus on automated driving at the moment. And yeah, it will not be as fast as we believe it, but I see a real chance that automated will go on. Shared means on one hand services like Uber or Lyft, where more or less taxis are replaced, and you share this car in a sequential order, or you have services like Moya, like shuttle services with automated cars or with drivers in that, and then you share the car, the space in the car at the same time, not a sequential, but at the same time with other persons. Or you have shared car sharing models where you, if you want to have a car, you reserve one on your app and you walk there and you grab it and you drive around and you drop it at your destination and then you close it and you pay that through an app. There are a couple of services out there here in Germany. And the company Miles is very successful, comparably successful with that. But we also see sharing of scooters, scooters to sit on, scooters to stand on, of e-bikes, of bicycles. So we see the sharing of single vehicles. And the E in case stands for electric. My view on future electric mobility, I discussed that in the last podcast. So in all detail, if you want to get into this, for me, it's a little doubtful. First of all, I'm sure it will not be as fast as politics wanted. There's a political will saying, okay, we want to have electric mobility. We want to replace combustion engines. And of course, it's a good idea that we do not burn fossil fuels to be mobile. So thinking about an alternative and acting in a way that we will have an alternative in a foreseeable future is a good idea. Point here, major point, is we have with a combustion engine a very well established infrastructure on all levels. It is existing and it is working very well. And this is not the case with electric mobility. So we are missing many different components from chargers to the cables we need in the streets to transport the energy down to energy production. I mean, burning coal to produce electric energy and then use that one to drive around is not what we want. So we need sustainable energy from sun, from wind. So this entire change, this entire infrastructure, the change in that, the update of that, will not be as quick as politicians would like to have it and as many believe. So we will have probably one day electric mobility. In the future, in a far future, we will have a fully electric fleet globally. But for a very long time, particularly if you see that on a global scale, we will have different kinds of drivetrains in parallel. So for me, electric is something we will work on, we do things with, but it's not one of the core future trends anymore. The charm, the sexiness is gone. And now we shall improve that one. And first of all, I think it's an improvement of the infrastructure. Not so much. Of course, in vehicles, we have a lot to do as well. But we know what we need to do to get this one done. Automated remains, as I said, but I will get into this deeper in the next 2 minutes. So discussing with my clients and discussing it in conferences with my professional peers, when I walked over the CES in Las Vegas in January, I realized that CASE is not representing the burning hot trends of the future of the automotive industry, but that we need something new. And I think that the four letters DIAS represent these new trends, the future trends, pretty well. And I put this together as eights in the first round. I thought it's like eight, help or support. Yeah? And then we have different helpers, helpings in that. A nice colleague of mine, a super nice and smart lady, she said to me, hey, this is an illness, this is a disease, and we shouldn't use that. And she's absolutely right with that. And that's why I rearranged the letters to días, which is Spanish for days. And I think this is useful. This is something you can remember, and it's not having any negative connotation if you use this. And so what do these four letters stand for? So D stands for diverse. I stands for intelligent. A for automated. And S stands for software defined. So diverse, intelligence, automated, and software defined. These are the trends that I see in the automotive industry. What do I mean with these four words, with these four expressions? Diverse. We see more and more different means of transportation. We see, for example, intermodal traffic, intermodal journeys. So if you want to travel from maybe your home to downtown, to a specific place in downtown, you may drive the first 20 kilometers with your car. And then you park it at a train station and you take the train into downtown. And at the main station in downtown, there is an electric scooter, and you use that for the final 2 or 3 kilometers or miles. This is a typical intermodal journey that you do. Maybe you have a couple of meters of walking at the very end. And there are apps out there, there are applications out there in very early stages, that when you sit at your breakfast table and you say, hey, I want to be in downtown soon, then this one shows you, indicates you how to do this. Yeah? And then this app may say, hey, yeah, you have to travel with your car for the first 20 kilometers. Then at the train station, I will make your reservation for a parking place. So you are safe. You will find a place to park your car there. And I will pay that already up front. Then I will buy you a ticket for the train. And then I'll make your reservation for a scooter at the train station. And for the final 300 meters, I will give you navigation advice. Typical intermodal journey. And that is using a diversity of different means of transportation, of different vehicles. We also see new kinds of vehicles. We have these scooters to sit on, the scooters to stand on. We see e-bikes. We also see different kinds of cars out there. This micro-mobility, the scooters and the e-bikes, they became popular when electric engines were produced on a larger scale with upcoming electric mobility. And so at the end of the day, this technological improvements, these advancements made it possible to produce these micro-mobility devices. And the number will grow. There will be other things out there pretty soon. We also see new, let's say, car concepts like the Renault Twizy. This is a mixture of a quad and a car, a two-seater. Four-wheeler, and it has open windows. You cannot close it because then they can. It is rated as a quad, which is much easier to get the approval for than for a car. And yes, they are useful. You can drive around with them. They're little electric vehicles. They have a far smaller footprint than cars. So yes, at the end of the day. This may also be a good compromise of I'm able to sit. I have a certain protection against the weather. But my footprint is not as big. And what we see in cars is different kinds of drivetrains that will exist in parallel for a comparably long time. So we will see combustion engines, we will see gasoline engines, but also diesel engines. I don't think that the diesel is really dead. But we'll also see plug-in hybrids, so we will see range extenders, and we will see at the very end of the day, of course, also fully electric drivetrains. So we get a larger diversity of vehicles in size, in the way you use them in drivetrains. So the D is for diversity in mobility. The I in DIAS stands for intelligence. So artificial intelligence is a driver of innovation. It is a big buzzword at the moment, and on the Gartner hype cycle, we are on the very top at the moment. And we will experience that things will not be as fast as we think, it will not be as radical as we think, but it will have a serious impact on our lives, on our jobs, on the way we communicate, and on mobility. And it will have it on all aspects of mobility, on the development process that will be steered by artificial intelligence. And I have seen at the CES the new tool of a company called RideWare. It's an HMI, a human machine interface development tool. And like in DALL-E, you type in there, I want to have the HMI designed for a cluster instrument. I want to have the speed on the left and the driver assistance systems on the right and the media in the middle, and the entire thing shall be in super flashy pink with blue needles. And then this software gives you a couple of designs, a couple of suggestions of how it looks like. You can improve them and you can use them. And this is just one single example out of my area of professional expertise, where artificial intelligence is active and where the consequences are visible. Production, car production. Car production is an awfully complex process, and that will be supported by artificial intelligence. And it feels like almost on a weekly basis, I get invitations to conferences, to meetings, to summits on artificial intelligence and production processes. We have large amounts of data. We have a super high complexity in there, and their artificial intelligence is very well positioned to make big advantages. Distribution of cars, car sales, all this will be influenced by artificial intelligence. And that's the core point. We will also see this in the car. So the car itself, the car interior, the car behavior, the cars themselves, they will be driven by artificial intelligence. And we are in the final stage of the Carly project. This is a project funded by the German government. It is about artificial intelligence on vehicle interiors. How does it change vehicle interiors? And we talk about motion sickness there. How can we detect motion sickness? How can we prevent motion sickness? How can we reduce motion sickness once it's there? It is about level conformity of behavior. So is a driver behaving according to the selected level of automation? So if you are on level 2, you shall keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the steering wheel. You shall be in control. And can we use artificial intelligence to detect if a person is behaving that way? Or is he or she already sleeping in the car, which should not be on level 2? And so we research on the HMI adaption based on artificial intelligence. How do HMI change? HMIs, human machine interfaces, how do they change when I have an artificial intelligence behind this? And how does it look like? So we made and published a big study on how does an avatar on a dashboard shall look like. So we had a big user study there. It will be on the HCI, International Human Computer Interaction International Conference, We will publish it there in June, and so you have the chance to read it once the paper is out there. We are planning at the moment the next round of studies, where it is about the HMI of handovers of an intelligent car to an intelligent driver and vice versa. It's also the intelligence is on the common use of transportation of vehicles, the communication between users and car, and so we have different application areas of artificial intelligence in cars. And Volkswagen is claiming that they will use ChatGPT, others will use other speech assistance, large language models to modify the interaction between car and driver. So there is a strong trend, and so the eye for intelligence, I think, is a clear trend with a lot of potential to make things great and a lot of potential to make things scary. Automated, the A in DIAS, level 2 automation, meaning that the car is doing lateral and longitudinal control all by itself, but the driver needs to be in the control loop all the time. This is the definition basically of level 2. Is there, it is out there, it's existing. And level 3, which means that the driver can pull him or herself out of the control loop in certain use cases for limited time, is there in a very limited way, but it is short before becoming reality in many different cars. What we have today is a collection of different driver assistance systems, like a highway assistant, a traffic jam assistant, and a park assistant. And all of them are based on the same set of sensors. All of that is calculated on this the same computing unit. And they merge more and more with each other so that we get more and more driving experience, or more and more use cases. We get an automated driving experience. So we cover more and more use cases with that step by step. And this is a trend. So it's not the one day that we say, all right, now it's there. Now we have autonomous driving on level 3 in all the cars. It will grow step by step, model by model, software update by software update. These more and more use cases are covered, and more functions will grow into vehicles, and more automation will leak into the car. In future scenarios, we will have fully automated driving, autonomous driving. I'm not really sure when this will be the fact. Parts of that exist. So we have Waymo in Phoenix. We have Cruise in San Francisco. They're driving around there. The question is, fully autonomous driving for me means that I'm getting into my car in Berlin. I'm pressing a button, and then it takes me to my apartment in Mallorca, meaning it has to cross 3 or 4 different countries. It needs to go onto a ferry in Barcelona. It needs to get off the ferry in Palma. It then needs to drive to Puerto Andrés, and my apartment is in the pedestrian zone. So it needs to handle this in a way. And all this without me anyhow interfering with the car, I think that scenario is pretty far away. Button parts, we have it. At the end, I think it's a matter of cost and effort. So we see that there's a lot of money we need to put into sensors, into computers, into the development and testing of these things. And at the very end of the day, the question is, will users in private cars pay for that, an additional 15, 20, 25,000 euros, dollars, pounds? Or do they say, no, I can live with a collection of driver assistance systems, it's okay for me, and then it's not fully autonomous. And we see the autonomous cars as shuttle buses in certain contexts only. So I have no idea where we will be, but we will get into automation and to higher levels of automation step by step. And this is, well, I believe that this is a trend, something that we need to have a focus on. And this is why the A is remaining, the A of case remains in exactly the same way in DS. Software-defined vehicles. Software-defined vehicles means that there is one central computing unit in a car that covers, protects, does, performs all vehicle functions. A couple of years ago, somebody disassembled a Tesla, and that person was super surprised that there is just one computing unit in this car. To me, it was a surprise that someone can be surprised about this. In other cars than Tesla, let's say the traditional cars, the traditional brands, we have between 10 and 20 computing units per car. And this comes out of the tradition. Car makers have a silo-oriented thinking. So the braking guys were the braking guys and did all the braking stuff, and the entertainment guys did the infotainment and nothing else, and they didn't talk to each other. And this is why we had these different computing units, plus the fact that purchasers love this because it's easier to buy. And if they have different suppliers, they can play with them, they can reduce the prices. So out of the tradition of a car maker, of an established car maker, it is logical that we have this. And this is changing today. We will have this one and central computing unit, as Tesla did it, because Tesla did not have a heritage. They didn't have a history when they started developing a car. And so they could say, hey, we have one central computing unit, and that's it. It does everything. Because there were not these traditions inside the car. What we have is that we separate hard and software. So the car makers will buy from one supplier, or they will develop it itself, this computing unit, this hardware. And new functions, or the functionality itself, is put on by software only. And that is far more flexible. Software is more flexible than hardware. And so the implementation of new functions is far easier, or the update of existing functions is far, far easier. So we can cover new use cases with that. We have new chances to do the development processes. The car makers will need to change their development processes, the thinking, the entire thinking of this. We will see with the software-defined vehicles new business models. Do we allow third parties to put their apps onto this central computing unit? In the beginning, probably not, or only under very limited and very restricted conditions, of course. If in the same computing unit you do a parking assistant app or a music app and you steer the braking, then there should be extremely high level of safety. Should be very careful not that my new downloaded app from some doubtful third-party provider interferes with my safety systems. So this is the part. Yeah. We see new challenges. How do we handle this one? How will the relationship between OEMs, suppliers, and software companies change? And there will be changes. So we are having this. New challenge, and so the S is definitely something that the software-defined vehicle agenda we have today. It is seen as a technical problem. I'm missing the analysis of the use cases. Late last year, in the December 2023, I made a podcast episode analyzing exactly that. There are a couple of use cases that I see. Safety, efficiency, those are the ones that I'd say a little more on the harder side. Function updates. Innovation is made easier with software-defined vehicles. And first of all, it's about personalizing the vehicle. So in all areas of the car, the driving behavior, the appearance of the interior, the functionality, the HMI, the data connectivity, the services we have in cars, all these things are points where we have a chance to make fast and focused innovation with software-defined vehicles. but it's also about branding. For car makers, it gets harder and harder to differentiate with each other. And if you have a software-defined vehicle, you can define your car fully and completely with software. That allows you to differentiate from other brands. And that allows you to differentiate your single models. So if you have three, four different models on different price levels, then you can have, based on software only, different functionalities. And you can emotionalize vehicles with that. You can say, hey, I have the coolest, fastest, straightest data connectivity in my car. I have the best services and I guarantee you monthly updates and so on and so on and so on. All these things are part of the software-defined vehicle. All right, to summarize this one. So CASE is, from my point of view, outdated. Reality created changes. Either because they are not really relevant anymore. So like the shared, for example, where you see tough business models, where you see, it's very hard for companies, for the service providers of shared vehicles to survive. You have very bad payment morale in these digital services, shared services. So that one needs rethinking. Electric will not come as fast as it is, but it is a reality, a political will. And the connected car is not really a futuristic, trendy thing anymore, but it is there. It's reality. And so DIAS, diverse, intelligent, automated, and software-defined are, for me, the new future. So DIAS shall be the new paradigm. And this will then be valid for a few years. And then either these trends will be reality. So today's future will be the presence, or the future is totally different than we think it today. And this is something that I find very, very exciting, that we cannot predict anything. And I love this. It's wonderful. We are living in exciting times. And one thing is sure, the future is alive. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time. Take care. And stay healthy.